When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Here you go. Here you go.
Good judgment. Nothing personal, word of the day for Friday, September 16th. We're halfway through September, but we made it to a Friday. Good judgment, as in, I cannot in good judgment sit back and allow our children and future generations of fans to think that this behavior is tolerated because of wealth and privilege. He may well have said white privilege, but he just said privilege. Phoenix Suns vice chairman has entered the building. You don't hear much about the vice chairman. Our vice chairman was a guy named Joel Mail. They can be bankers. They can be lawyers. They can be friends of the owner. They can be investors. If you have a big group who owns a team, Robert Sarver is the controlling managing general partner, the control person of the Phoenix Suns, suspended for 1 year, spent a couple shows talking about it. Players have reacted. The media has certainly reacted. Everybody says the same thing. Outrage. Cannot believe he only got 1 year punishment, $10 million fine. It's not nearly enough. We told you, hey, let's see what happens here going forward. Will this story fade? Will Robert Sarver be the next Mark Cuban, where you move on to the next? Remember, Mark Cuban had some issues in his front office. How's Danny Snyder? Danny Snyder is still owning, not really operating the Commanders. Of course he is. So what's going to happen with Sarver? There's a verb now called sterling. Will he get sterling? And I don't mean the London pound, which, by the way, if you have a chance to go to Europe, this would be a good time. I don't know what it was, Coco, when you were there, but it's down to 118, down from like 150. So what's going to happen here? Will you get sterling? Being sterling means you are out of the game, forced to sell. We use that within baseball too. Every sport now says, should we sterling him? That's something when your name becomes a verb, right? It's like Tommy John, when you're a person and you become a surgery. So to be sterlinged, you have to be on tape being racist. It doesn't matter that it was alleged that you were racist. It doesn't matter that an independent, not investigator, found that you engaged in misogynist activity or said the N-word in recounting a story, quoting somebody else, or did things that were inappropriate, borderline racist or racist. Is it your word against someone else's? Are there 100 people interviewed, top 100 people interviewed, top 5 answers on the board? Is Robert Sarver a racist on tape? They don't have it. So Sarver doesn't get sterlinged. And I said, listen, The only thing that's going to keep this story going is if we keep talking about it and enough people keep talking about it. And it doesn't have to be LeBron James or Chris Paul. It's not their responsibility. It doesn't have to be nothing personal. It doesn't have to be you. It doesn't have to be me. It's a collection of the ether of the metaverse. If it's just out there, the way it works in a commissioner's office and with owners is they're constantly sticking their finger in their mouth, sucking it, putting it up in the air like they're about to take a golf shot and saying, oh, the wind's coming this way. Does that actually work? Or how about when they pull grass? I like when I watch golfers do this. They pull grass and they throw it up in the air. Oh, look, the wind's going that way. I'm going to use the 6 instead of the 5 or the 7 instead of the 9. When you're doing that with someone who owns a team, you don't exactly stick your finger in your mouth and in the air, pull up blades of grass. You are looking for something slightly more hard that you can rest on. And the reason you need something like that is, as Adam Silver said, I can't go around just taking teams away from owners because owners have to tell me to do it and owners are reticent to tell me to do it. They want a very clean line of what they can do and what they can't do. So there's a bit of a book. Do not get taped being a racist. That's pretty much the end of the book. You can cheat on your taxes. You can get arrested. You can have a terrible divorce. You can be a bad father. You can be a bad manager. You can tell lewd, crude jokes. You can get calendars of naked women. You can go into the clubhouse and talk to your naked players. You can do whatever you want. Don't get caught on tape. But then there's a question as to whether or not there is something that anyone can do. Who's in a position to try to effectuate change? The NBA tries to be ahead of everything. They put slogans on the court. They tell you that they are completely woke and ready to go, and they want to make sure that the players understand that they make a difference and they're going to raise money and they're going to, you know, not be Kyle Irving, but somewhere below Kyle Irving in the I'm invested in this issue scale and I can actually do something about this issue scale. But what does it actually do? What does it actually change? It's something that I wrestle with every day. We all try to block and tackle to make the change that we can make. If you think about all the change you want to make, you end up making none of the change that you could make. So there's a vice chairman who works for the Phoenix Suns. His name is John Najafi. He is an investor in the Phoenix Suns. Spoiler alert, he doesn't like Robert Sarver. Spoiler alert, Robert Sarver doesn't like him. Triple spoiler alert, Najafi would love to get the team from Sarver and take over. So use that as just your baseline, because that's what other owners are going to do. That's what Adam Silver is going to do when he reads the letter that was posted yesterday by Najafi. An open letter calling for the resignation of Robert Sarver. And people stood up and said, this is great. This is great. We're making progress. I tweeted out that this is a pebble that turns into a boulder that creates an avalanche. The avalanche is what crushes people below. I think Coca said it creates a landslide. Made me think of the Fleetwood Mac song. Pebbles to boulders. It could create a landslide, but then do landslides create avalanches? Maybe you just added the extra step. But this is the type of activity that's required for something to actually change. And we always think that we're in the middle of the avalanche, right? Enough black people get killed by the police. All right, we've got protests. We've got people in the streets. This is the avalanche. All right, we've got change. Enough leagues say they're going to make a difference. They're going to try. We've got an avalanche. Do we, though? Have we ever? What's the last avalanche you've seen? Avalanche to take away smoking, advertising from games, from TV? That was an avalanche. How'd that hurt the tobacco industry? Bad? Good? Are they still around? Oh, there was an avalanche that created, slavery was an avalanche, that created a civil war. How do we do with that? Slavery done? Does everyone think that slavery's done? I think you're getting my point of what it takes to make an avalanche. But I don't want to have you misunderstand that the letter that was written, the open letter calling for the resignation of Sarver, was perfectly written. And I just want to read you parts of it because I spent a lot of time telling you when things aren't said well, when there's grammar problems, punctuation problems, effectiveness problems, embarrassing problems. This letter was outstanding from start to finish. It's just going to fail in the effective column. His main point was that, and I'm just going to quote, it's a long letter, so I just want to quote one part that I would like you to focus on. He went through all the conduct that Sarver did in the letter and said, similar conduct by any CEO, executive director, president, teacher, coach, or any other position of leadership would warrant immediate termination, without a doubt, unless you work for the Mavericks. The fact that Robert Sarver owns the team does not give him a license to treat others differently than any other leader. Interesting. Let's just examine that and make sure that that's a real sentence. How do you feel about people owning teams and it doesn't give them a license to treat others differently than any other leader? How do you feel about the abuse of power? How do you feel about the power of privilege in any business, in any circumstance? How many of you have been on a team where the captain of the team is held to a different standard, can get away with more? How many of you have worked in an organization where the top sales guy can be a little late to work or have an extra drink? How many of you have been not on the inner circle of your company and felt on the outside and therefore not able to perform to the level that at least you thought you could perform to? How many of you have ever owned anything? And if you own something, does that give you a feeling that you can treat people differently? It's called bullying, right? Except when you're in a workforce, it's not really bullying, it's bossing. Bullying and bossing are two very different things. Hey, I'm your boss. I own you. How many people have said that? Right? A little callback to slavery, anybody? I cannot in good judgment sit back and allow our children and future generations of fans to think that this behavior is tolerated because of wealth and privilege. He sort of misses the point here. The reason that Adam Silver could not have him sell had nothing to do with wealth or privilege. It had to do with numbers and math, right? You have to get a certain number of votes in the NBA to oust an owner. And Adam Silver did not have the votes. Therefore, there was nothing he could do. But I digress. Therefore, in accordance with my commitment to helping eradicate any form of racism, sexism, and bias, as vice chairman of the Phoenix Suns, I am calling for the resignation of Robert Sarver. And here comes the beautiful sentence. While I have no interest in becoming the managing partner, horse hockey, I will work tirelessly to ensure the next team steward treats all stakeholders with dignity, professionalism, and respect. Darn it. Everything was perfect. I didn't want to tell you or say anything about the last sentence, but does it hurt you? Are you saying Samson's so damn cynical? What is the reason that he would have to put in this letter, which is all about how to treat people well, how it is right to call out the actions no matter what level of wealth or privilege or title you have? Standing up for people who can't stand up for themselves. Amen. While I have no interest in becoming the managing general partner, generally means while I have great interest in becoming the managing general partner, which takes away all the credibility of the letter. Darn it. I thought we had the potential of a pebble working its way to a boulder. Instead, we have a sniveler who will have the effectiveness of a fly on an elephant. Ooh, that's sort of annoying. Here comes my trunk. And if my trunk can't reach it, guess what? I'm going to have my sister's trunk slam you. Bye-bye, fly. It's not happening. It's simply not happening. So what will the debate be as we move forward? Why is it that there's so many people in front of a microphone telling you how you should feel about the Sarver punishment? That is something that is going on right now with media, with podcasts, that frightens me a little bit. I'm incredibly honored to have the platform that I have, that we have, that Coke and I built together because of you on your shoulders. A lot of people have platforms. We talked to you during COVID, whether you listen to one person or five people listen to you, or 50,000 or 2 million, it doesn't matter. You've got a platform. It's only a difference in size. And as you know, size doesn't matter. So when you have the responsibility of the platform, are we failing by having Sarver not removed? Should we be all fire and brimstone to show that Adam Silver has not done his job properly and how it is unacceptable and how the NBA got it wrong? Aren't we better served explaining why things happen and then moving on? Aren't we better served not wasting your time by yelling into a microphone what a disgrace Adam Silver is, when you know very well that Adam Silver does not have the power to force Sarver to sell? Aren't you better off knowing that owners who own teams want to protect themselves, much like people who work together in other industries band together and say, hey, let's take it to the man? Or, hey, let's make sure the man doesn't take it to us. What do you think unions are? Unions are formed so that they can be together in a foxhole protecting themselves from management, from abuses of management. What do you think groups of managements are for when they meet and they go to these fancy parties and these fancy conferences? Have you ever seen it? Like you're going to a hotel. The conference of aluminum siding salespeople. It's the best aluminum siding salespeople from around the world. Why do you think they're meeting? They're meeting to make sure that their business doesn't go away. They're meeting to make sure that they can figure out a way to sell more aluminum siding while trying to make sure that the person next to them doesn't yet quite approach how much they sell, but that they get to still sell because we need the industry to continue. The American Association of Dental Practice meeting in Rancho Mirage. We got to keep getting the word out there. We got to keep coming up with new toothpaste to get the word out there that people's teeth are going to fall out because 4 out of 5 dentists recommend Trident. Do you see where I'm going? Everybody bands together, all in self-interest. And there's nothing wrong with it. We don't cry to the moon like wolves howling on a dark winter's night when 99% of organizations do exactly what NBA owners do and MLB owners do and NFL owners do, but we're upset about it because of wealth? Okay, that's going to be your criteria? It's very, very convenient right now to go after wealthy people, the Zuckerbergs, the billionaires. I get it. I get why people want to do it because so many people are suffering. I would just also tell you that there has been that level of economic disparity forever, since the beginning of currency. Doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong, just makes it a fact. So as you read this letter and think about the anger you have over Robert Sarver, or the anger you have over anything you have anger over, how about putting on that shoe and learning why that shoe fits a certain way and why the results are what they are? I think it's worth your time. Wait to see is when I tell you something's going to happen. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. I'll give you a wait to see. Robert Sarver is not selling the Suns. Remember all the outrage that Snyder had? Time just passes. People batten down the hatches and wait for the next scandal. Believe me, there'll be a next scandal. That is the one thing you can count on as much as the sun rising in the east. There will be something that will take this off the front page. There will be another thing that happens in the Phoenix metropolitan area, in the NBA, in sports, in the world, dare I say, where people will say, ah, yeah, guy, that Sarver guy, bad guy. Time will pass. Najafi has his agenda, so that's not the Avalanche. Wait to see. Sarver doesn't sell. All right, Coca, someone asked a funny question, and I'm going to answer it.
You know what I want? I want to talk to Samson.
So you want to talk to Samson. We are heading now into the middle of September. You ought to know this by now. We're coming up on our 3-year anniversary of Nothing Personal. What is the date of our anniversary, Coca? Do you have any idea? Was our first show October 9th or October 19th? It was one of those 2 days, I believe. We did some of those rehearsals, like 2 of them, and then we just started. In any case, So You Want to Talk to Samson comes from a movie, Half-Baked. If you've heard it, then just get baked and listen to me explain it to those who haven't. In the movie, there's a character named Samson, and people always want to talk to him. So if you want to talk to me, get on Twitter at David P. Samson. I'm going to be doing some mailbag episodes over the next few weeks. You have questions, get them to me on Twitter. You can go on Instagram at David P. Samson. You can also go on Apple and write a review and ask a question. That'd be good. David, Sandy Alderson is leaving the Mets. Any interest? What would you do as team president? I figured it would be a matter of minutes before someone would ask that question once it was announced yesterday. What interesting timing. The Mets are playing the Pirates. Starting, what is it, Coca? 3-game series, a 4-game series? Probably 4. They played yesterday. Today's Friday. They're playing through Sunday, so it's a 4-game series against the Pittsburgh Pirates. The Mets have the easiest schedule of all time, and yet they're hanging on to the NL East. Thank God the Braves are not playing well if you're a Mets fan. Braves have a very tough schedule. So here we are in September. What a team president is doing right now is quite interesting. Team presidents are working on budgets for next season. Fiscal years for teams, some end October 31st, which is the end of the championship season, the end of the playoffs generally. This year it's November, if the World Series goes deep. Some teams use December 31st. The regular calendar year is the end of the fiscal year. You're working now with your auditors. Baseball teams get audited. They got a bunch of accounting firms they have to deal with, so they're working with their finance department. Presidents are working with their sales department, setting ticket prices for next year, setting sales strategies, all so they can do a budget for the baseball department. Presidents are working on marketing for next year. They're working on slogans. They're working on giveaways. They're working on the schedule, the Heritage Days. You've seen all these Heritage Days. They don't just happen. It's Cuban Heritage Day. It's Latin American Heritage Day. Yesterday was Roberto Clemente Day. Do you see the Rays? Played an entire team of Latin Americans. That made me laugh, Coca. We forgot to talk about that. The Tampa Bay Rays, yesterday, Roberto Clemente Day. Some people thought they were going to retire 21 the way they retired Jackie Robinson's number. MLB did not. I do not expect them to. That said, it's good to have Roberto Clemente Day. It's good for people to learn who Roberto Clemente was and what he meant to the game, what he meant to the world. Tragically, as you know, may not know, died way too young. Is he the only player who is exactly at 3,000 hits, Coca? I have a feeling that he died exactly at 3,000. I'm not positive. The Tampa Bay Rays were playing the Blue Jays yesterday. And this is a bit of a side note, Coca. It's off the rundown. I'm sorry. They were playing the Blue Jays, and Tampa tweeted out, and it got a bunch of attention, that they played all Latin players on Roberto Clemente Day. How great is that? And I said to myself, given the same question, the same day, what would I have done? And here's my answer. If I'm not competing for a playoff spot, and I'm not playing a team who's competing for a playoff spot, I will play, if I possibly can, a team of all Latin players. If I'm not competing for a playoff spot and I'm playing a team competing for a playoff spot, for the integrity of the game, even if I'm playing a team who I really want to make the playoffs, because if they do, they'll take the spot of a team that I really hate, I'm still not going to play a non-representative lineup, meaning not my best lineup, just because it's Roberto Clemente Day. The Tampa Bay Rays are in a playoff, in the playoff hunt. And by the way, if I'm in the playoff hunt, I forgot to give you that example. If I'm in the playoff hunt, it doesn't matter who I'm playing, I am playing the best lineup I can to win a game. Period. I want the PR not that badly. Remember in 2012, second side story, we had Adam Greenberg take one at bat? One at bat. He got one at bat against the Mets, and R.A. Dickey's the player who played for the Cubs got hit in the head by a Marlins player. His career ended, and he made it back, and no one would sign him, and the Marlins signed him in 2012. Just one of the more crazy things that we did that year, being on the franchise, having the team that we had, the new stadium, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He took three swings off R.A. Dickey, who won the Cy Young that year, and that was it. And the question we had is, how will that impact competitively? And we were not in the race, and the Mets that year, whatever they were doing, either they didn't need the game or there was no issue or we were helping them. In any case, things happen, but you have to look at the competitiveness. So the Rays put this lineup out, and now everybody's talking about how great it is that they played all Latin players. So I've got a little nugget for you. Keep in mind, Roberto Clemente was from Puerto Rico. One of the biggest mistakes that white people make is thinking that Latin players from Puerto Rico are the same as Latin players from the Dominican, are the same as Latin players from Venezuela, are the same as Latin players from Cuba. Hey, I got an idea. Let's start a Hispanic marketing department. This will be great. It's the equivalent of starting a marketing department and marketing to the Confederacy and to the most liberal part of the country with the same slogan and the same flag. How would that go? Good? How about KYA, know your audience? You can't have a Hispanic marketing department. When a company says to you, we have a Hispanic marketing department, they're just trying to convince all white people that, hey, look at us. We're paying attention to this great big market. We want their money. We're going to get it. You have to market differently to Venezuelans, to Dominicans, to Puerto Ricans, to Cubans. It's totally different people. Totally different ways to market them. I learned all this while being in Miami because when I first got to Miami, hi, I'm David. You know what I look like. You know my size. You know my age. Hey, we need someone in charge of Hispanic marketing. Meanwhile, everyone came up to me who worked there and said, David, may I suggest to you that's not the right approach? I said, teach me. Tell me. They sat me down over the course of days, weeks, hours, and months and explained very, very thoroughly what we needed and how we needed to do it. Now, don't say that our lack of attendance showed that we didn't market properly. You could just say that the team stunk, the city is bad, the location of the stadium is terrible. You can say all those things, but don't say that we didn't understand the difference between marketing to Dominican and Venezuelan people. So, on Roberto Clemente Day, celebrating all the Latin players playing, two issues with it. One, no Puerto Ricans. Funny. Two, that's the Rays lineup. Now, they didn't play G-Man. They didn't play their second baseman, Walls. But those guys are platoon players, but they play a lot. But that was more than a representative lineup. Way more. And I'm not trying to take credit away from what they did. I'm just not trying to sit here and tell you it's the damn coolest thing I ever saw. Way to go, Tampa. Of course, no one mentioned the fact that the starting pitcher was a white guy, but he had to be. You're not going to mess up your starting rotation for Roberto Clemente Day. Let's not get crazy. So Sandy Alderson, so in September, I was telling you things back to, what are we back to? Sandy Alderson and what presidents do right now. So I told you they're doing marketing. That's how we got off the subject, talking about marketing. They're doing finance. You're meeting with your baseball people as you get ready for the GM meetings, which come in November. You're looking at your roster. You're looking at who you're taking off your roster at the end of the season. If you're in the playoff hunt, you're looking at what your playoff roster is going to be. You're sending out your scouts, if you're in the playoffs, to scout your potential playoff opponents. You're giving them their assignments through September. There's a lot going on. Yesterday, it was announced that Sandy Alderson is leaving the building. He's given up his job as president of the Mets. He's going to become a special advisor to Steve Cohen and his son. There's a code word for that in baseball, and I had special advisors too. Everyone has special advisors. That's paying people who have long standing, good standing in your organization, and you want them around, like a Jeff Conine or a Jack McKeon or an Andre Dawson or Tony Perez, like a Randy Johnson. Just go around to every organization, go online, and look at titles of people who have special advisor. Sometimes they call it special assistant. I have news for you. Sandy Alderson will not be specially advising Steve Cohen, Alex Cohen, or anybody next year. Once you're a special advisor, they don't really take your calls. That said, you get to go to games whenever you want. You get to sit with the big boys, girls, people. But you are not in any way the captain of the ship. It's like a little trailer. It's like a trailer of money, like a severance. We'll give you $100,000. You're going to be a special advisor. We're going to ask you what stocks we should be buying in our venture capital firm. What companies? We're going to say, hey, what do you think of that move, pitching change? It's absurd. It's absurd. So the rumors started immediately. Theo Epstein's going to be the president. David Stearns of the Brewers is going to be the president. Billy Beane is going to come to New York. The president of a team is different than the president of baseball operations. The president of baseball operations controls and runs the baseball side in theory. You're doing the budgeting of the baseball department, not the entire organization. You are doing the hiring of the coaches at every level, hitting coaches, pitching coaches, trainers, managers, etc. Scouts, player development, the draft, the major league team. You're not working with the finance department on the audit. You're not doing marketing and sales. You may be asked to give speeches to marketing and salespeople. You may be asked to go on a sales call. But the president of baseball operations is dealing with baseball. The president of the team is dealing with the whole team. It doesn't matter the reporting structure. Sometimes the president of baseball operations and the president both report to the owner. Sometimes the president of baseball operations reports to the president and the president reports to the owner. But in all cases, the president of baseball operations does not run the business of the team. Sandy Alderson was running the business of the team, in theory. That's what his title suggested. I never thought it was happening, but that's what his title suggested. We're going to know very quickly. If Sandy Alderson is replaced by a president of baseball operations to work above Billy Epler, then Steve Cohn has somebody or needs somebody to run the business of the team. David Stearns is a candidate to be a president of baseball operations. It is very likely he has been tampered by Steve Cohn. It is very likely that Sandy knew when he was resigning because it was part of a plan. It is very likely that ownership will be a part of the next deal to get one of these executives. But I'm not at all sure what these executives will do outside of the baseball silo. We will find out when he makes the announcement. But I can only tell you that I am not a candidate. And the reason I'm not a candidate, other than the fact he doesn't have my phone number, and he probably reads my tweets, is that I'm not leaving you. I'm not, and I'm talking to you, Coca. I'm not leaving you, Coca. I'm really talking to the audience. I'm actually talking just to a camera. I wish we had a live studio audience. Maybe one day, Coca. Just because then I could look in your eyes and say, we're not stopping nothing personal. No chance, toilet pants. This is too good. Too much fun. What should I look for? And as a Mets fan, what should you look for as the next team president? Here's a surprise that's going to upset you, but the next team president's really going to be focusing on the development around Citi Field, trying to get rid of the chop shops and figure out how to monetize that area. The next team president's going to figure out how to increase revenues, how to run a more streamlined organization. And it doesn't matter if his name is Theo or Leo or the 23 sons of Mrs. McCabe, and she called them all Dave. None of that matters. When you are hired to run an organization, you are hired to increase revenues, decrease expenses, and increase profitability. Hard stop. When you're hired to run a baseball organization, just the baseball side, you get a budget, you get a number, and then you try to win as much as possible. Two different things. When we come back, we're going to review Vengeance, and I want to say a few words about Roger Federer. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.
Welcome back to Nothing Personal. It's David Sampson. It's been a week, folks. Every week's a good week. We will be back Monday. Today's Friday. Make sure you download, rate, review, subscribe, tell your friends, enjoy your weekend, catch up on any episodes you missed, because why not? I watch a movie every day. Yes, I do. Shocking but true. It does help when you don't sleep. It does help when you can't sleep. It does help when you don't want to sleep. Do you all, have I told you my bed story before? I don't know why I just thought of this. You know, some people, when they get into bed, they view their bed like as an angel bed with wings, and it's fluffy and it's inviting, and you just want to crawl in there and snuggle, and everything's so good, and you're comfy, and you suck your thumb in the fetal position, and you fall asleep, and then you get bothered by kids or bothered by alarms or bothered by dings or bings or bongs. But you love your bed. When I look at my bed, I see fire and brimstone. I see the devil and his pitchfork. I see a bed of nails, not like the guy in the Guinness Book of World Records who lies down in the bed of nails and is comfortable and can sleep. I see a bed of nails that when I go, it punctures right through to my aorta. So therefore, I watch a lot of movies. So I reviewed on Lebitard yesterday a series called The Premise. The Premise by BJ Novak. I watched a movie by BJ Novak called Vengeance. He's in it. And I think, I don't know, I actually can't remember. Did he write it and direct it? He may have written it, but not directed. It doesn't matter. It's got Ashton Kutcher in it. And here's the story of a lovely lady who gets murdered. And all of a sudden, BJ Novak gets a call and says, come to the funeral. Why? Your girlfriend just got killed. And he said, huh? Turns out she was a 1 or 2 or 3 night stand, but the family thought that she was, that they were dating for a long period of time. So he goes down to deep in the heart of Texas, and he's a podcaster, and he has an editor whose name is Coca, Tiffany Haddish. I can't remember who was in it, but it was Ashton Kutcher. And then someone else who was in The Premise, and it was Issa Rae. Thank you. Thank you. And so 4, 8, 9. So BJ Novak is a podcaster who goes down to Texas and tries to make a story of figuring out who killed this girl who's not his girlfriend. And guess what happens, as you may imagine? He ends up becoming a part of this family. It is a very interesting piece about vengeance, about family, about people who you think don't fit together, who do, for reasons that you can't even imagine until you see it. And then you realize that, wait a minute, maybe we can market to everyone the same way. And then the credits roll and you say, maybe we can't. It's called Vengeance. It's worth your time. It's worth your money, because I think you have to pay for it. Unless you have a website where you can pirate movies. Roger Federer is retiring from tennis. I can't remember a time. Let me cut that, if you don't mind. 4:69. When I first started watching tennis, I was watching McEnroe and Borg and Connors and Lendl. Arthur Ashe I watched. Then you move to the next group of Sampras and Agassi and Courier. Then you move to the next group of Nadal and Djokovic and Federer. That group's been around for, I don't know, 24 years. There are many of you who listen to the show. I believe that 54% of you have no recollection of anyone being in tennis other than Nadal, Djokovic, and Federer. These are the tri-goats. It's hard to choose who's the best of these three. There are people who thought Federer was the greatest of all time. Then they think Nadal is. Then they think Djokovic is. Nadal's got the most Grand Slams. It's not as clear-cut to me as Serena being the greatest of all time. It's just not in men's tennis as clear-cut. Federer wrote a letter to his fans yesterday announcing his retirement. Not surprising to me. He's 41 years old. What was surprising in a very positive way is the fact that he is an athlete. He's never had a problem. He's never had a scandal. He's never had an issue. He's never had a moment. This is a man who is an example for brands to use, where you can attach yourself to Roger Federer and your brand will never suffer. You will never have to worry about being embarrassed. You'll never have to worry about a mugshot. You'll never have to worry about him becoming Boris Becker. Roger Federer built an empire off the court as much as he did on the court. And the way he is leaving, he's going to play one more tournament in London next week called the Laver Cup. At one time, Rod Laver was thought to be the GOAT, by the way. September 23rd to September 25th. And I want you to see if you can watch Federer play or go online and watch one of his matches. You're seeing little clips of little points here and there. It's worth it just to watch a match, just to watch his demeanor, just to watch how he acts on the court, the effort he gives every time, no matter the opponent, the respect he gives to every opponent, no matter the rank. I loved watching Roger Federer. I try to have players model themselves after Roger Federer. The way you can be effective without being a monstrous animal, without having ill behavior, it's possible. And Federer did it. And he's exiting with such class. The letter that he wrote thanking his fans, above all, his sponsors, his family, his coaches, the federation in Switzerland where he started tennis. I just was a huge, huge fan of what he did. I really am. Congratulations, Roger. And thank you. Nothing personal pick of the day. Did you see the Chargers backdoor cover? Yummy. Who doesn't like a backdoor cover? 106-80. We are 26 games above. Chargers only lost by 3. Doesn't matter. That's a win. All right, we have a weekend coming up, and I want to talk about a few things that are going on this weekend because it's pretty good. Coca, turn your volume down. We're taking the Mets over the Pirates. It's so bad when I take the Mets. They never win. But here's what happened. The Mets beat the Pirates last night. The Mets are waking up. They're coming off a bad start from Walker. He's going to have a good start. But listen, take the run line, not the money line. We're taking the run line over the Pirates. That means you've got to give 1.5, and you're going to lay some money. But that's the pick of the day today, is Mets run line over the Pirates. Sorry, Coca. Maybe you should fade me when I do the Mets. Although I got the Cubs right going against the Mets, so I don't lose the picks of the day when the Mets are involved. It's just that the Mets don't benefit all the time. Big series, Braves-Phillies, is happening this weekend. I'm focused on the Saturday game when Aaron Nola's pitching. Aaron Nola's the best pitcher for the Phillies. The Phillies are going to make the playoffs. They're going to break their playoff streak. I don't think they've been in the playoffs in 10 or 11 years. The Mariners are going to make the playoffs, and they're the longest streak in the American League. For the first time in over 20 years, there will be a new team holding the streak for the longest amount of time, not having made the playoffs, which is great news for the marketing people at MLB because they like to tell you about competitive balance. They like to tell you that every team has hope, and they use the playoff stat as showing 28 out of 30 teams have been in the playoffs in the last 5 years. They just make stats like that so you believe that, hey, I live in a city where I got a chance, but I don't have a chance like anybody in the NL West. In any case, the Braves have not taken advantage of the Mets not playing well. So my pick of the day Saturday, the Braves are going to take advantage against the good teams while the Mets are playing bad teams. The Braves are going to snap out of their little funker, and they're going to beat the Phillies on Saturday. And then we get to week two. We've been doing pretty well here in football. I think we're 2-1 to start the season. Is that right, Coca? I'm looking at the Packers game because Aaron Rodgers has been all over the news. A lot of talk about quarterbacks not playing during the preseason. You know where I stand on that. It's like having your starting pitcher or your outfielder participate in zero spring training games. You've got to get your body ready. You've got to get used to what it feels like to be hit. You've got to get some sort of chemistry with your players inside your clubhouse. Football is such a dangerous, violent sport that players say, if you're not forcing me to play in preseason games, I'm not playing. Why would I even bother? Forget voluntary mini camps and off-season workouts. I don't want to put pads on. I'd rather go to the Bahamas for 12 days and save my marriage. No, sorry, that's the wrong guy. So Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in the preseason, comes out week one. They absolutely lay a stink bomb, and it's, of course, the wide receivers who we had called out before, stink. Did he not know when he re-signed with the Packers for this one final year that Adams was going to be gone? Of course he did. It's just too convenient. The Packers are too good, way too good, to have this happen. And they're playing the Bears, who for whatever reason won their game last week. So, here's what I have. Packers minus 10. When I was making this pick, Coco wanted to remind me that last year, and I had forgotten this, did you remember when the Packers lost 38-3 to the New Orleans Saints in week one? I did not. Okay. I'm not going to talk about Rodgers missing camp anymore. I promise this is the last time. But we're taking the Packers minus 10 over the Bears. And the reason we're taking the Packers minus 10 over the Bears is that the Bears win last week. I'm out. It didn't convince me of anything. It was week one. Lay the points. Don't be scared. We've got the Mets in the run line over the Pirates. We've got the Braves over the Phillies on Saturday. We've got the Packers minus 10 over the Bears on Sunday. I want everyone to have a very good weekend. Ooh, that's what the playoff streak will be. Thank you, Coca. The Anaheim Angels of Los Angeles and the Detroit Tigers will have the longest time between postseason appearances, each at 8. Those are both in the American League. Who's going to be the National League? It's not the Marlins. The Marlins made it in the shortened season of 20. So there's going to be somebody in the National League. But the Angels and the Tigers, can you imagine that the team? This is insane. I didn't know that, Coca. Oh, Pirates, that's a good one. This will be their seventh year. Can you imagine for a second having Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani on your team and having to say that you have the longest streak in the entire American League without making the playoffs? It's almost impossible. It's almost a reason to sell the team. I guess we'll wait to see how that goes. Thanks for another great week. We'll be back. We always are. It's just business. This is nothing personal.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.